showroom for people who aren't familiar with church and to try and make it as comfortable and seeker sensitive and friendly and sing three songs and a hymn and have a poem and a joke. And or are we going to be a place where the church meets on Sunday to express radical love and passion and freedom? Are we going to be a place where we can make mistakes, where we can step out and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And we decided to go the latter route. We said we weren't going to be a public swimming pool. We were going to be a training swimming pool. And they got very different flavors and environments. So first of all, I just want to say well done, Ronnie, this morning on leading worship. You stepped out in your gift. Where are you, Ronnie? Are you having some water? But just stepping out in your gifts. And those who came and brought prophetic words, well done to you. That you stepped out and delivered something that you felt was from the heart of God. And if we come with that attitude on Sunday, man, I want to just come and be abandoned to His presence. So if you're visiting with us and if you're new in the church, I promise you we really are normal. Although it doesn't always look like that on the outside. Amen. And we love God's Word. And I want to ask you to take it up. Take up your Bible. Open to the book of Romans. As you do that, we're going to take up the offering. And my wife is bursting at the seams to make an announcement. They're having a thing for the church. They think? No. Why don't you? Okay, now we switch it on.
Girls to be spoiled. They're going to be having an Esther Pamper evening on a Wednesday. I think it's around about the 2nd of July. You can see the brochures down there. It's 20 rand a child. It's from the ages 7 to 13. And they're going to have teddies and nannies and makeovers and just get totally spoiled and feel very precious. So if you want your little girl, your little grandchild, or somebody to come to that, please, you can register over there at the end of the service.
As we bring our giving this morning, we give because there are practical needs to give towards. We give out of a partnership to the gospel, and we give because we are generous people. Amen? So as we bring our offerings this morning, Lord, we thank you that this is a generous house where we give so that the gospel can be proclaimed and perpetuated. Amen. All right, that gave you enough time to turn to Romans. And as I always introduce it, let me say that Paul had never physically been to this church in Rome that he's writing to. But he was planning to go there. And in his research, he discovered that there were some problems in the church around unity between two different groups of people. So he wants to show through this epistle that there is one new creation. Say one creation. There's one new creation. It's not the haves and the have-nots, the Jews and the Gentiles, the pink and the green, the young and the old. There is one new body that we find ourselves baptized into by the Holy Spirit. And he's going to take the first 8 chapters of the book to talk about what the foundations for this new creation are. In other words, the gospel. Say the gospel. He's going to establish the grounds for this new creation. Then he's going to spend chapters 9, 10, and 11 specifically addressing and speaking to the factions that were taking place by reprimanding the Jews but encouraging the Jewish believers. These are the Jewish Christians in the churches. And encouraging and admonishing the Gentile Christians that were in the church. And then he jumps on to the second portion of the book. So in the first portion, he's establishing the grounds for our new creation, this new creation, the body of Christ. And then the second part, from chapter 9 through at least from chapter 11 through to 15, 16, he's going to talk about what this body looks like. How this body functions. how this body lives, how this body relates to one another. So if you like, it's the vertical in the first eight chapters, and now he wants to get into the horizontal. So his transition verse, as we started looking at last week, and Gareth, can I please have Romans 12, 1 and 2 up? Just verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. Let's turn there in our Bibles. It's always good to see it, underline it, ring it, make little notes. Amen. So can we have Romans 12, NRV? Let's work from the NRV this morning. I don't have the little flicker light to show. Is it up there? There we go. Let me remember how to use this thing. Which one is it, Gary? I can't remember. This is going to get me into trouble. Let me just leave that alone, and let's go back to the verse. Okay. Let's read it together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's just stay there for a moment. We looked last week at therefore, referring to the therefore. We looked at the view we must take of God's mercy, His grace, His goodness. And now he's going to talk about practically outworking this gospel. And we start off by saying, you don't belong to you anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You have now become a worshiper. So I'm a worshiper. God is looking for worshipers, and you've become a worshiper. And how do you live as a worshiper? You offering yourself up. You've surrendered your time, your treasure, your talent to God as a living sacrifice. It's holy because He made you holy. Amen. Tell the person next to you, you're holy because He made you holy. That's what the Bible teaches. He made you holy by one sacrifice through the blood of Jesus once and for all. So He's made you holy and pleasing in His sight. And all you do is offer yourself up. Isn't that wonderful? And He's going to talk in the next few chapters, and we're going to look over the next couple of years at how wonderful it is to live out this gospel. Amen. Living for God to your full potential. That's what this means. To offer up yourselves a living sacrifice is to live for God. Live for God to your full potential. Now, how do we do that? Verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. So how do we do this? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, there you have it. Thank you. God wants us to live for Him to our full potential. He tells us how to do this. And He first starts with a warning. Don't get squeezed into the mold that the world has for your life. You see, the pattern that the world wants to squeeze you into isn't just to make you a bad person. It's to make you a self-centered person. It's to make you self-absorbed, self-interest, everything, my time, my treasure, my talent is all about me, 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 me. It's a tight little mold that the world squeezes you into. So the greatest objective is not just to make bad people, but its objective is to distract people from living for God to their full potential. That is God's calling and purpose for your life. If you're in this new creation that He's been talking about and explaining the grounds of this new creation, if that applies to you, you are now living for God to your full potential. Don't get squeezed into a mold that is going to make you moldy. Don't get squeezed into a mold that's going to get you introspective, self-conscious, self-absorbed, self-righteousness, self-interested. But be transformed. Say transformed. Metanoia, repentance, and I forget the word now. It's the word of transformation, like a A caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Metamorphosis. Metamorpho. Morph. To morph is to call. Metamorphose. Metamorphosis is to become this beautiful new creation. He says, you transformed by the, how's the how? By the renewing of your mind. Now, is this your mind? Well, that's technically your brain. Your brain is the gray stuff that holds the computer room together. Your mind is that part of your soul. You know, you are a body, you are a spirit. You live in a body, you have a soul. Your soul is that part of you, your mind, will, and emotions, the real you, if you like. And your mind is that reasoning facility. The mind is an extraordinary, fascinating, amazing component of who you are, your soul. And it's in that boiler room where the changes take place as we find out through the gospel how we can change the shape of our world. You know, that's been one of the greatest discoveries of social sciences, is that you can change your world by changing the way you think. Now, they only discovered that recently. That was always true. You know, a lot of electrical discoveries have always been true, but they've been around a long time, but we've only recently stumbled upon them. So just because the social sciences discovered some of these amazing things about the mind and how it operates and how it works, God already knew that. It glorifies Him and shows how He created us in the first place. But that is, they say, one of the most amazing discoveries of our generation is people can change the shape of their world by changing their mind. And here we have it. Except people are using all the wrong methodology to change their mind. The way to change our mind is the gospel. The way to change your mind is the gospel changes how we think about God. The way we change our mind is in view of all these things, who God is, that He's no condemning you, that He's for you, that He's with you in all whatever you're facing, that by faith you can activate His good plans for your life. All these things He's been unpacking. He's saying, this, you want to know how to transform your mind? It's through the gospel. This is not just a new fandangled methodology you've got to come across to change your world, change your life. This is practical. The more we percolate in the gospel of righteousness, the more we percolate in the gospel of truth, the more our mind is configured and reformed into thinking His thoughts. And when we're thinking His thoughts, we're moving in the direction of His purposes for our life. Don't be conformed to this world that wants to limit you and make you small-minded. And it's me, 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 ah. This is much bigger. This is God's purpose for the whole of mankind, this beautiful gospel. And it can so transform you when your mind is renewed. Say, I can change my world by changing the way I think about the gospel. So I want to give you a couple of technical things now, but I hope they're going to help. And we can build on these into the next few weeks. Because remember, we got three chapters now ahead of us to talk about how this gospel affects every level of relationship, every part of our lives in a practical way. The first thing you must to make sure about is in view of the mercies of God, present yourself a living sacrifice. This is what it means to be a worshiper, to be living for God to your full potential. And beware lest you get sucked into the scheming and plans and mold that this world has for you. But you don't have to. You just got to have your mind transformed. So this mind, what is this mind? It's not just this stuff here. This is our memory banks. The mind is a part of us that reasons, that's logical, if you like. that social sciences have divided, given it four or five titles or activities that go on. And the one is, it's the stuff that's happening at a subconscious level most of the time. Our mind at a conscious level is aware of what's going on right now. You hear my voice, you're seeing, you smell. There's about seven things it can retain. Because if everything you'd ever heard, smelled, tasted, saw, felt came rushing into your head, you'd go mad. So there's this valve that prevents from your subconscious too much flooding into your conscious mind. But at a subconscious level, there are deep-seated beliefs, values, attitudes, self-image, mental habits that are sitting at a dormant subconscious level that are, if you like, on a conveyor belt between my conscious mind, my conscious, where I am right now. There's this interaction of evaluating and considering and revisiting what's deeply held at a belief level. You see, you believe things, we believe things, I believe things that might not even be true. That's how, what I'm talking about, deep-seated, it's a belief system. It's something you grew up with and told, you know, that if you leave your tooth under the bed, you're going to have a 2 rand coin there when you wake up in the morning. And you believe that. Some stage you stop believing that. Some of you. I was shocked. I was watching on Al Jazeera. There's this Boko Haram terrorist group up in North Africa, and they're wreaking havoc, and they went into a village, and they're interviewing this man. They shot his family, shot his friends. And the first words out of his mouth in the interview is, "I have to accept this because this is the will of Allah." And I thought to myself, oh God, how we need the gospel. How we need to have our minds renewed. How we need to move away from a faulty, wrong concept of who God is, that the gospel alone can produce. How we need to preach this message. Belief systems that are held are a reality that we live in, irrespective of whether they're true or false. And the gospel has to come and address these belief systems. Our values. What are values? Values are the things that we value. The things that are important to us. For some, it would be having a night off with his family. For someone else, it would be at the driving range. Someone else, it would be paying his debts on time. For someone else, it will be rock and rolling at a party. We've all got things that are valuable and we place value on, and they sort of balance out the way we interact. And then there's the level of patterns of habitual thinking. Someone says something, it's stimulus response. It's ingrained. It's like, you know, you get good habits and bad habits. A good habit would be going to the gym. But you know, you've got to do it like 21 times over before it becomes a habit. So you get good habits, but also know, and smokers, you don't have to put your hands up now. You also get bad habits, habits that are destructive and damaging. And in the same way, our thinking habits, there are stimulus response thinking habits at a subconscious level which automatically start going down a road. They're just habitual ways of thinking. For some people, it's negativity. Doesn't matter what you say. Gee, don't you like my new car? Yeah, it must cost a lot of money. Hey, I'm getting married in 2 months time. Oh, why would you want to do that? It intersects with attitude. That's fourth area of how our mind at a subconscious level is working all the time. Attitudes are just the way we choose to think about things. It's a mental posture that someone termed it. It's a way of that we choose to think about our world and things going on, and we don't even know we're doing it. It's at a subconscious level. And once again, it needs to be challenged with the gospel. It needs to be smacked into shape by the gospel. It needs to be brought into submission to the gospel. Or else our attitudes are either positive or negative, but they're always regulating us. And you can have all the potential in the world. It's like behind this wall. Like, just imagine millions of acres of potential. But to come into the world, on the other side of this building, there's a door. And you know, it's only how big that door is, how much of that stuff's going to get through. It doesn't matter how much potential you got, because you've got tons of potential. You've got more potential than you could even dream about. But at a level of my attitude, I regulate that valve. What's going to come through and what's not going to come through. At a level of subconscious, I'm regulating it with my patterns of thinking. At a subconscious level of what I believe is to be true, my values. So I'm saying all this because I am really getting somewhere. But God gave you a mind. And your mind doesn't just include what you're thinking about right now. Your mind includes a deep reservoir of stuff that if it's not percolated in the gospel, it becomes the little door that all this potential you've got cannot be manifest. There are so many people with just so much stuff they could give this world. And we say, but why do they keep falling for the same junk? Why do they keep falling in the same addictions? Why do they keep falling for the same traps? It is, my friend, because they have a habitual way of thinking. And that thinking has to be panel-beated into shape under the anointing as the gospel of who God is. And you can take a deep breath now. God's for me. God's at work in me. He who began a good work will continue it. Don't get too hyper-analytical now. No, God's at work. God, you'll be surprised how much God's doing for you, even when you're sitting in a time of worship like this morning. You don't see it in the natural. But we want that back door to get bigger. We want the potential that God has for this world to grow. Amen? Don't be conformed to this world's pattern of self-protection, self-plan, self, me, mama, my little world. But be transformed as your mind is expanded to believe that God can do abundantly more than we ever dreamed or imagined. That God's purpose for your life is not limited to your age, not limited to your economy, not limited to which side of the railway line you live on. That door has to be blasted open by the truth of the gospel. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The last one of those, I won't spend too much time on it, is just self-image. You know, you have at a deep-seated level of your subconscious mind a picture of yourself, who you think you are. And you know that that picture might not be right. You know, there's a lot of other people might see a completely different picture. So who says the one you got is altogether right? We need the gospel to give us the best self-image. Because the gospel is all about the God who created you in his image. And when we get back to God's image, we get back to the best self-image. And while we're still limiting how we see ourselves based on how we think others are seeing us, because that is probably the primary contributing factor for how you see yourself is, how do other people see me? That's why we're so self-conscious. Do you always yawn in church, sister? It's going to get more exciting next week, I promise you. Next week, I'm going to tell so many jokes. Now, she's very self-conscious right now. But her self-image isn't based on how she thinks I see her. Because if your self-image is based on how you think other people see you and how other people relate to you, you're always going to have a small back door at the other side of your potential. But when your self-image starts coming from a knowledge of the bigness and the greatness of God, as the gospel begins to refabricate your life, you're no longer conformed to the image of this world, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The second part of that verse is, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able, say, I will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Because that's it. This Muslim guy who said this is the will of God has been limited by a religious mindset that is so narrow compared to the gospel's understanding of the will of God, which is so broad and so kind and so good and so perfect. The will of God that is pleasing. Paul is trying to compact all these concepts into this one word. Yeah, he says the will of God. And then your Bible will have like a little dash. Is good, pleasing, and perfect. He's wanting to say, guys, when you think about the will of God, I want you to think about what is good. I want you to think about what is pleasing. I want you to think about what is perfect. Because that's God's will for your life. That's God's will for your marriage. That's God's will for this church and the nations that are going to be affected by His church. That is God's will. And when you know this, when your mind is renewed to gospel reality of the goodness of God, you begin to expect the good to happen in your life. We begin to expect the perfect to begin happening in our life, because we have changed a way of thinking. Our mind is not being restricted and held down and compressed into meaninglessness. It's expanding and growing. And all the potential that God has for His church is going to flow through a church who knows that it's will of God to bless and not curse. That it's God's will to bring favor and not destruction. When the church of God knows that God is for us, not against us. My friend, the valve is going to be broken open, and the glory and the magnitude of God's presence is going to flood the nations like the water covers the sea. Well, why doesn't God just do it? Well, God's done it. Amen. The problem's not with God. The problem's with us. God, that we would have our minds renewed by this wonderful gospel. I've got to sit week after week after week opening the same book to the same place and hope that God's people don't get so bored they want to go buy a caravan or a boat. I tell you what, we've got is priceless. It's a treasure. It's good. It's pleasing. Amen. And it's perfect. So I want to leave this last thought with you as we finish. I need to review the gospel so that my mind will be renewed in order to be the real you. You need to review in order to renew to become the real you. And in the next three chapters, he's going to show you what that person looks like. But if we don't get this right, we'll go into the next few chapters thinking, oh, this is what I need to imitate. And that's a very fine line there, because yes, of course, there is something we do. But we do it from a place of victory, not from a place to achieve victory. We go from a place of being accepted, not into a place of needing to receive acceptance. But he's going to describe. Why don't you go and read the three chapters for yourself in the next week and say, Holy Spirit, I want this gospel to percolate a fresh flavor of the goodness of God in my life. Will you do that? Let's stand up as we pray and we ask now, Holy Spirit, would you come and just seal and cement in this wonderful gospel, this wonderful truth. People, we prayed for this morning. to see breakthrough in their lives because of this wonderful gospel. People who've never submitted their life to Jesus Christ, who've never been born again, who are not part of this new creation. I want to say to you this morning, you're just one word away. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess Jesus with your mouth, you will be saved. Maybe there's someone here this morning doesn't know, am I even saved? Am I even part of this new creation? Just as we bow our heads, would you say this right now in your heart? Father God, I believe Jesus died and rose again in my place. He lived the perfect life that I could never live. He shed holy blood that I could have never shed. And He rose again. That when I put my faith in Him, His perfect life is given to me, and His perfect blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Now I want to say to you, if you said those words, even in your heart, if you spoke those words out in your heart or from your lips, a miracle starts happening in your life. His faith is deposited. Can I pray with you right now? If you prayed that and you said, I meant that with all my heart this morning, can I pray with you? Just where you're standing. Can we as a church pray for you? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. If you prayed that and you said, that's me. Thank you, thank you. Keep your hands up. Thank you, thank you. I know, yeah, amen, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Because this is not for a church that you prayed this prayer. You prayed this prayer to be part of this new creation. I want to pray for you right. Don't you want to just slip out from your seats? Come stand here in front with me. I want to pray with you. Just come right now. Those of you with your hands up. I don't do this every Sunday, but I feel by the Spirit of God to do it right now. So come. And some of the leaders are going to come and stand behind you. And we're clapping because we are rejoicing in what God has for your life. The purposes He has for you and for your future. And for what He wants to do with you. That your life never has to look the same. That we are part of a new creation. We are part of a new creation. And I want those of you standing here now, just to look up at me. Those of you standing in front here, look up at me. And I want to say to you, what you're doing here is being recorded in heaven. Because this was the very purpose Jesus came to this earth. Was to have a body on earth. Made up of all people. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. That would become His bride. And when He returns, He says He will receive that bride to Himself. And my friend, all we had to do was put our faith in Jesus. So what you've done here this morning is the only qualification that you need. Just lift up your hands now. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Say these words after me, those standing in front of you. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Holy Spirit, let the blood of Jesus wash me from all my sin. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come and live inside of me as I am translated out of this world system into a new kingdom, the church of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Just keep your hands up for a moment. Church is just praying for you right now that this would be miraculous for you. Right now, Father. Right now. Just be filled. Filled, 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 filled. Filled, 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 filled. Oh, Jesus. We praise you. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. As new babies are born into the kingdom, there's a familiar sound, Lord. There's a familiar sound. When children come into your kingdom. And we rejoice as a church this morning of every son and every daughter that's born this morning, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. From the very heart of God, the very heart of God, the very heart of God. Oh, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. I also say to those in front here that there's someone standing with you, and in a moment they're just going to speak to you personally, maybe pray for you. Don't be in a hurry. As you're praying now, stand as you are, but there's someone with you that I know, part of this church, that's going to just pray with you in a moment, personally. To everybody else, thanks for being here this morning. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless. And if you're needing prayer in the area of business, there was a real prophetic word for people, businessmen, businesswomen. If you specifically need prayer, over on my left-hand side, there are going to be a few gentlemen who want to pray specifically into the area of businessmen, businesswomen. Thank you. Thanks, guys.